to the Meditation Conversation, the podcast to support your spiritual revolution. I'm your host, Kara Goodwin, and you're absolutely going to love this episode with renowned channeler, Daniel Scranton. Daniel was my guest back in episode 285, where he channeled the Arcturians. That's a fascinating episode to dive into if you haven't yet. And in this episode, we talk a lot about manifestation, with Daniel giving a great example of a big manifestation that he recently experienced. He also channels the collective of ascended masters called Thymus. I had a lot of questions for them that I was excited to hear from them about. So in case you're new to Daniel's work, he's been a verbal channel since 2010. The creators, the Hathors, the founders, Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Ophelia the Fairy, Kuan Yin, Yeshua, Buddha, the Palladian High Council of Seven, the Zetas, and the Ninth Dimensional Arcturian Council are some of the entities who have contracted to work with Daniel in guiding us through the exciting and turbulent experiences we are having as a collective at this time of the shift. Daniel posts frequent channeling videos on his YouTube at Daniel Scranton, and he has courses on channeling, connecting to your guides, contacting ETs, and much more. So before we start, I want to point you to Best Made Natural Products for all of your homeopathy needs. I rely on homeopathy for my own health needs as well as those of my family. I trust the quality of Best Made, who have a remarkable track record of over 60 years of worldwide use. Their products are 100% guaranteed, and their natural healthcare products are top-notch. I've had wonderful experiences with Best Made, and I want you to benefit from the good work they're doing too. Use the link in the notes and the promo code KARA10% for 10% off your order. That's K-A-R-A, 10% for 10% off. And now, enjoy this episode. Well, welcome, Daniel. Thank you so much for being here. I'm just delighted to be here with you again today.
It's my pleasure. I'm always happy to have a conversation about metaphysics and channeling and all the good stuff.
Me too. I just want to say I get your daily emails and I love them so much. I was sharing with you, we talked a couple of days ago, I had a private session with you, and I was sharing how it's part of my morning routine that I sit down and I read what the Arcturians are saying, or Thymus, or the Ascended Masters, and they're just really high vibe and expansive. And after reading them now for several months, there's a lot from the Arcturians and Thymus and so forth that talks about how we create our own reality. And we can't really affect change outside of us. It's real change has to come from within. And it makes me wonder, because it's such wonderful advice, and it can be difficult as a human to really feel like, wow, if I want to change the outside, I really have to change the inside. So I'm curious about Daniel the man and the human who's living life just like the rest of us. How easy or difficult is that to implement that wisdom into your own life as things show up?
Well, I think that's the journey. It's knowing it is one thing, and then you have to experience it. You have to give yourself the experience of it. And to do so is like a retraining of the self and the mind to get us to focus in ways that are non-traditional, because the traditional way is to go about doing everything through word, through action, not really putting a lot of emphasis on how we feel or our vibration or just our point of focus and what we're thinking about. But as we realize that these things are so important, then it becomes, now I've banged my head against this wall 15 times, so I know what that's like. Let me try the other thing that is the less obvious way, which is to change the way I feel about this, to change the way I'm thinking about this, to change my perspective, my focal points, all of that will ultimately, in the immediate moment, give you a better feeling inside. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the feedback instantaneously from the inside. You don't get it from the outside necessarily. And then there's the classic example of the parking spot. You're looking for a parking spot. So sometimes you do get a kind of instant manifestation in life where you're like, okay, I'm gonna shift this inside, and then because I want to change something that's happening outside. When it's something that's easy to expect is possible for you, like I know I can get a parking spot, and I've gotten one before, even though it's a busy street, even though there's limited parking spaces. I've had the experience so many times of pulling up and then somebody's got you see those reverse lights come on and you're like, ah, there's my spot. I've had that experience enough times I can believe it's possible. But when it's a bigger thing that you've never experienced before, then it becomes the challenge. And the challenge is like, how do I change the way I think about this? Even though I've never had any success with it before, a lot of people think it's impossible or nearly impossible to achieve this goal that I have. And traditionally, the way most people do achieve this goal is through lots and lots of hard work and effort and time and energy and things that I don't feel I have in abundance of. So you really do realize that, like I said, after you hit your head against the wall so many times, you go, okay, that's not working. Even the hard work efforting isn't working. So how do I shift then internally to get to this point where it's what I'm focusing on, the outcome that I desire. And I'm doing that because I want to experience that desire coming to fruition, but also it just feels better now to do that than to stay in doubt and worry and trying to figure it all out and what actions can I take or do I need to take. So action still has its place in the world. We're here as physical beings, and you could say we get to take action. We get to have that experience with the physical body and doing something that hopefully when we're doing it, we feel very much in the flow of it. Mm-hmm. So we feel like we're accessing more of ourselves and we're enjoying it so much that the joy of doing is its own reward. For example, there are actions like painting my office blue. That's an action that I'm not going to just sit here and imagine the room is blue. I could do that, and then somebody could knock on the door with a can of paint and go, I don't know why I felt compelled to stop. But I think the easier way for me is to say to the handyman, hey, I want that room painted. And I did go out and pick the color. I went to the hardware store. And that's fun too, to be like, okay, how can I find the exact color that I want, going through paint samples. I feel like there's a certain amount of fun involved in some actions, and we know what those actions are, and then we know the other actions that feel like they're pushing a boulder uphill.
Yes, that's beautiful. Speaking of your office is in your new home, and I wonder how much this dovetails into your own manifestation of your new place that you're living in.
Yeah, I would say we kissed some frogs on the way to getting here for sure. And it's an interesting process of selling a house and buying a new house. And it's one thing to sell your house in a foreign land, because now we're living here in Australia, and the house on Maui was on the market it sold probably right around a year after it went on the market. So it took a long time. The Maui fires somehow got involved in the whole thing, because the people who had been playing "We want your house, we don't want your house" with us for a while, they came in with a new offer during the fires. So the fires did affect the town where the house is. It's called Kula, and there were a dozen or so houses lost there. And others probably that were damaged. It was a very interesting experience with that. And at some point, when you're in that process of selling the house and it's not selling, you start to think about action. I started going there. What could we do? We could redo the two bathrooms that are very dated. House was built in 1979. The bathrooms looked like they were from 1979. Like I thought all those thoughts and entertained them. And luckily my wife was always like, no, we're not, I don't want to do that, because it, you know, would have been completely unnecessary. And I don't know that we would have gotten more money for the house, even if we had done those things. So there is that side of you sometimes that goes, and that was the part of the house that I never liked, is those two older bathrooms. So I was going based on my own judgments and assumptions and things that this would be the thing that would put us over the hump. So sometimes you do have to just go with the flow and go with what's easier, which is to do nothing. But we wound up getting pretty much what we asked for the house originally. I think we went down by 5,000 from the original asking price, which is not
a lot.
It's
nothing.
But we were actually considering raising the price after a year, because houses go up in value on Maui. You know what I mean? And especially after a tragedy like the fires, now there's less houses in the scope of all the houses that are there. So we were thinking in those terms. And then, so that was the big step, was the selling of the house. The other big step here was the getting of the mortgage, the loan from the bank. And foreign income, that doesn't, they don't all love that. They don't all love that your income is coming from the United States, which is where the business has been for my channeling and everything, and continues to be, because it's easier and tax-wise, it's better. We managed to make all of that work. And then when it came right down to it, they were looking at our bank statements and they're going, oh, so you have these credit cards you're paying off and this loan you're paying off with your bank. We want you to pay all those off and close all those accounts. And then we'll loan you the money, because they're like, the math that they were doing is different, because they're assuming we're going to be paying taxes in Australia, and they're taking a larger chunk out of the income to do their qualitative analysis of what we can afford. And so I was anticipating that this was going to happen too with these loan people. But what I had to do ultimately is say to all the people that follow my work, is say, hey, look, we're moving from from Maui to Australia. We could really use your help. If you've ever wanted to give a donation, because I do a lot of channeling that I post on my website, as you were referring to, that's the channeling I do, that I just say, hey, here's a message for you and everyone else. So people do appreciate that. But at a certain point in life, it's also okay to ask for help. And so I put that in the email that I sent out too. I think I sent out a couple emails where I said, I'm asking for help. And I don't feel humbled at all by that. I do think it's okay to work with that belief that there's help that can come from the non-physical and there's help that can come from the physical. And basically the people on my list and my YouTube channel, they stepped up to such an extent with their donations. I was able to pay off debt that the bank wanted us to pay off and get this loan for this house that I'm now in, that we're, the three of us are now in. That was such a, like I said, we kissed a few frogs. Like, we saw some houses where we're like, could we make that work? Is it possible? What if we did this? What if we did that? Whereas we stepped in this house on 11/11 last year for the first time. We loved it so much that in the middle of the showing, and you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to express, oh my God, I want this house so much. But I couldn't control myself. I didn't say it within earshot of anybody else, because not only was the agent here, but the owners were here. And that's odd. That's very rare when you're seeing a house for the owners to be present. But they were sitting outside. And I looked at my wife and I said, I fucking love this house. And I had the feeling in my body, like my body was filling up with energy as I was looking around at this house and moving through it. So we loved the agent, and the people were great. They were friendly. The woman at one point was sitting and reading with Talia. I think that was after we had already put in the offer and came back and did a second viewing. But yeah, the offer was put in on 11/11 and accepted on 11/11. So it all
wow.
happened on that magical date too. But the feeling, and then finding out things even afterwards, oh, it's a saltwater pool, which we would have changed it to if it wasn't, but it's easier that it is a saltwater pool. Not only, and here in these rural areas in Australia, there's a lot of water catchment systems where they take the water that rolls down the roof into the gutters, into a pipe and goes into a tank, and that's your water for your house.
Oh.
Here, the tank is fed by a spring that is on the property. We have a spring on our property.
Wow.
Which is crazy. I'm so into everything being natural. Like I eat all organic. I only drink spring water in glass bottles.
Or coconuts. I can see that you're drinking a coconut today.
Thank God I manifested these in Australia too, because I became addicted in Maui. And they don't grow here like they do. These are imported from Thailand. Anyway, so like all these things about the house that were just perfect, and we just love it so much, and we're just so happy here. But the journey to getting here, I would say, was over a year, because we were even thinking about moving to Australia before we put the house on the market there on Maui. We're already looking at houses here. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's a huge manifestation.
It is. It's huge in so many ways.
Yeah.
And at times I go, because I know I'm not perfect with all my thought. I'm not a perfect focuser at this point, or a person who vibrates in the frequency that he always wants to be. And when things like this work out anyway, I'm just like, I don't know why I'm so blessed, but I feel that like the manifestations, my wife, my daughter, even the cats, like everything is just, it's just so immaculate.
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah. I would love to talk about the latest collective. I think it's the latest collective that you've started channeling, which is Thymus.
Yeah.
Can you give us the rundown on this collective, who it is, how they came about, what their purpose is, anything else that's relevant?
Sure. Thymus, first of all, I channel Saint Germain, I channel Yeshua, I channel Buddha, I channel Kuan Yin, I channel Mary Magdalene, and I channel Mary, Mother of Yeshua. I have channeled Krishna. Like, I channeled so many of these ascended masters. And then during one of my channeling courses that I teach, where I bring everybody else into the channeling state with an exercise, two per class actually, I started to go, rather than just sitting here while they're all channeling and like waiting for the time when it's my turn to talk again, I'm going to channel with them. So I'm going to mute myself. And because as I lead them into the channeling exercise, I'm also following along with it. And it's also just pretty easy for me to start channeling. So I started to do these channelings with myself muted in my classes. And Thymus came through a couple of times, maybe two or three times. And at first I'm like, really? Thymus? Like the gland? And they're like, yes. That's the word. And then I looked it up because I didn't know. I knew the thymus was approximately over here. Didn't know what it did. And I probably have forgotten.
what you learned. Is it like where our, if you think of the high heart?
The high heart, which is why it makes sense.
Right.
Thymus. But also, if you break down certain words, thy, am, us. You are us, basically.
Oh.
Like that, to me, is interesting. If you rearrange the letters in Maui, it's I am you. So that's interesting to me, too. You know what I mean? There's just,
yeah.
I love wordplay and stuff. But so thymus came through a few times. And then I lost my voice almost completely in July of last year. And
yes, when we had our podcast, when we had our last podcast, you were just coming out of that. You talked about that. Yeah.
And so I had been channeling the Arcturians for the message, what I call the daily message. It's not every day anymore, but it's not every day that I do a fresh one, I should say. I reuse some older ones when I do the book. Their tones are very powerful, a lot of overtoning, and they weren't coming through as well as the voice was coming back. The toning was not what it used to be. But with thymus, it's a guttural kind of throat singing sound that comes through. That none of this is planned by me. Not the sounds that come through me at the beginning. It's not orchestrated by me. I don't choose any of it. When I go into the channeling state, what happens is my arms naturally rise up, sometimes both of them, sometimes one, and then this will form into a mudra, which I didn't even know what a mudra was until my yoga teacher friend was like, oh, you're making a mudra. So like these things just naturally have my fingers flap like this, and they're touching when they do this. Mm-hmm. So there's friction. And then come the sounds, and sometimes light language too. So sometimes when I'm channeling somebody new, there'll be a light language that comes through. And then after a while, I'll go, okay, now let's switch to English. And just make that conscious choice. It does happen, typically. So with thymus, the tones that came through were those really guttural sounding ones. And the thought, my voice being in the shape that it's in now, it's actually going to enhance that toning. Whereas if I continue to try to do the Arcturians for these videos, they're not going to sound as pretty as they typically have. So it made the choice to add thymus to the mix a little bit easier for me, because I'm not a person who does change all that easily. Like, I like getting in a rut and just doing things over and over again. I like the comfort of that. But then once thymus came through, so they're, if I haven't described this adequately yet, they're the collective of ascended masters. So that's their title that they go by, thymus, the collective of ascended masters, meaning there are all the ascended masters lumped together in one group consciousness, which really is how everything is in the higher realms anyway. There's not that sense of individuality. I think the individuating of them out is for us, because they lived human lives. So we have these human characters that we associate with even today of what they are. But now that they're non-physical consciousness living in the 12th dimension, they all tend to come together in these group collectives. That's why whenever you hear from anything that's channeled from the 9th dimension on up, you're usually hearing a lot of we's and ours and us, and it's the collective pronouns.
That makes sense. It's fascinating, as you were talking about who they are, I could feel my thymus. I could feel something like click in my high heart. But then my arms felt really like silvery, like a really like slick energy or something. I don't know. It was really fascinating.
It's fascinating. Another thing that's interesting too is like my wife used the word silvery last night when we were doing our intentions before we fell asleep. And lately prior to you saying silvery and her saying silvery, and she doesn't know this, but in my channeling classes lately, I've been doing a grounding exercise where I'm telling people, imagine a silvery liquid coming in through the crown of your head and filling up your whole body.
That's
So when you said that it's coming in your arms, that's what it reminded me. And those things come
amazing.
to me as well. Like those, I don't plan what I'm going to say when I lead people into a guided meditation to channel or something. I just let it rip. But
Yeah.
there's some, definitely some classics in there of like, we're going to expand out from the heart, or we're going to open up the crown. And but they evolve too. They change a little bit based on whatever downloads are coming in for me to use in those
Yeah.
exercises.
Yeah. Oh, I love that because I was questioning if silvery would be the appropriate ad. I was like, this just feels like silver. And, but so that was the only thing that came to mind. But I'm like, I don't know if that's going to be relatable, but I love it. But you mentioned your cats, like even the manifestation of your cats is immaculate. I loved when you said that. It made me think as well that when I was editing our last episode, my cat had such an interesting response to. So you channeled the Arcturians and you did the tones that you mentioned that are specific to the Arcturians. And my cat, like, just started rubbing her face all over my computer while I was editing it. And I sent you a video of that, but I had forgotten about it. And then by the time the episode came out, I had somebody who sent me a message and they're like, whoa, my cat is really responding to these tones. Like they don't know what to do with it. And I'm like, oh my God, my cat was really funny with those tones too. Are your cats quite drawn to your
They're
channeling
so
state?
used to it now. They were born in 2012, so I had been channeling for a year and a half. So they grew up with it. It was a miracle, the cats that I have, because the mom was given to me from someone who found her in the woods of Big Bear or Lake. I can't remember if it was Big Bear or Arrowhead in California. They were camping, and this cat was wandering around the campsite. They scooped her up, brought her to Santa Monica, and gave her to me because I responded to a Facebook post of hers and said, yeah, I've actually been looking for a new cat. This cat turns out to be pregnant. So I have kids
Oh,
a month and a half later running around my apartment, and then they're still with me.
oh, so the mama and the kittens too? Oh,
But
so how
I
many
adopted
is that in
out
total?
four of them.
Four.
I adopted out four of the kittens, so there were six altogether kittens, and I kept two.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a crazy cat man who has three cats instead of the normal one or two. And moving them all around, moving them to Australia,
Right.
it
You didn't
was
have to quarantine them.
just 10 days.
Oh, that's great. When I moved to England in my 20s, I had a cat and I would have had to quarantine her to move from America to England. At that time, it was going to be like 6 months. And I was like, I can't do that. So
It's
she
like that
went to
for
my
dogs.
parents. Oh, really? Yeah, that's hard. Well, how do you feel about channeling?
Really good.
I would love it. Do you feel like you know who wants to come in or?
We should do thymus.
I'm thinking that's,
Talked about
I
them,
like
so.
that. Yeah. Okay, awesome.
Okay. Here we go. And I guess I'll let them do a little message for everybody for a few minutes, and then you can ask questions.
That sounds great.
Blessings! We are Thymus. We are the collective of ascended masters. We have been coming forth to assist you with your own mastery there in the physical realm, because we have had lifetimes on planet Earth, and we do know what it is like there. We know that you are doing the best that you can, and that you have different circumstances around your lives and your births than we all did. And yet we faced some of the same challenges that you all face. And we do feel that we are appropriate teachers to all of you, especially because you look up to us so much. And in looking up to us, you open yourselves up to us and to our transmissions. You are more likely to receive a transmission of energy from a being or a collective that you respect and admire than you are from one you have never heard of and are a bit skeptical of. And so it is easier for us to get through to people who are a bit more apprehensive in opening themselves up to extraterrestrials, for example. And we do work better together as a collective than we do as individuals, in the sense of we don't go up against the preconceived notions that you have of each of us as individuated consciousnesses. As we combine forces, we do grow in our power and in the intensity of our offering, and we are not pigeonholed by you because you don't have preconceived notions about Thymus, the collective, whereas you certainly do about Saint Germain, Yeshua, Kuan Yin, Buddha, and so on, all of which are amongst us. And many more that you haven't heard of. Many more that you don't even have names for are amongst us. And so we are a bigger collective consciousness than the sum of the parts that you know of at this time. Very good. And we are happy to take any and all questions from you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It feels like things are different this year already, even though this is the beginning of February 2024. And we've had some big cosmic events like Pluto entering Aquarius and periods of frequent solar activity. And we have a big eclipse that's coming in April.
Yeah.
Are these cosmic events setting the stage for great change on this planet?
Well, the great change is already underway, and they are reflective of the changes that you are making in your consciousness. They reflect to you the readiness that you have for more and for better experiences there on planet Earth. And so you can give all of the credit to the sun and to the other planets and to the dates and the times that are significant on your calendars, like equinoxes and solstices and so on. But you can also rest assured that it is because of the work that you do on yourselves that you are able to grant yourselves these significant events, and the power of them is felt more by those of you who are tuned into those energies and recognize that you are a part of a bigger picture than just what is available to you inside your physical body in terms of your sense of self being a human being. And so as you reach out to the galactic and you reach out to the energies that are present at any time and you seek to absorb them, it is like saying to this universe, I am ready for more of me. I am ready to experience more of who and what I am. And so then you are more likely to benefit from those cosmic events.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Can we talk about timeline shifts? I'm curious about how frequently these happen. Is it throughout the day or every once in a while? And also if everyone experiences timeline shifts together or if they're more personal.
They are personal. There's always going to be a collective that you experience as the other humans that you're sharing this journey with, and the ETs as well. There will always be a version of the collective that you experience on every timeline that you are on. But you don't have to wait for everyone else to be ready to jump a timeline in order for you to create a new past and a new future for yourself. Just like you're not waiting for anyone's permission to create a new present or a new experience of the present moment. So it's not as though they all come along with you for the ride, but rather there's a version of everyone on that other timeline that's going to be more reflective to you of the changes you've made within yourself.
Ah, okay.
Same soul, different body, slightly different personality.
Same soul, different body.
Yes. Different bodies exist in every single reality that you move into. You're not taking your body, your original body with you through time, but you're moving through time as a consciousness and inhabiting different bodies along the way.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. And slightly different personality.
Yes, because change occurs within that personality that you're interacting with to reflect to you the change you've made in yourself.
Wow.
So okay. That's why people are a little bit kinder to you when you're operating at a higher vibration. And when you start to sink into a lower vibration, it seems like everyone is giving you dirty looks.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you. And you've mentioned galactic, our galactic brothers and sisters. What do you see happening in terms of humanity experiencing more ETs directly?
Well, that goes back to the individual experience and the collective experience question, which is that you as an individual can have whatever experiences you're ready to have, whatever experiences you desire and you align with, you can have. And then you will experience a collective phenomenon of ET contact that will occur in your not too distant future. So you will be determining what the date is for that collective experience by your timeline jumping, and you will be determining when and how you experience your own personal ET contact experiences as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Can you tell us, and maybe based on the experience within the collective, the part of the ascension process that involves going from a carbon-based physical body to a lighter body of silicon or crystalline?
It's part of that jumping of not even timelines, but just moving through different realities, because each reality that you move through doesn't necessarily mean that you're on a different timeline. But each time you enter into a new reality, you are entering into a new physical body that is slightly different from the one that you were just in. And so that is a gradual process of you taking your consciousness to lighter and lighter versions of what appears to be the same body that you had 10 days ago or 10 years ago, but it really is different. And it's more reflective of the consciousness that you're holding. That higher consciousness needs a lighter vehicle, or will be given that reflection to it of a lighter vehicle as well.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. What ways would you suggest that someone develop a deeper connection with their divine team, their guides, their galactic brothers and sisters, and so forth?
Well, it's a good place to start to believe that they exist, that they are there, that they're not too busy for you, that they're in fact always available to you. And then it's another good idea to sit and quiet your mind and breathe more consciously and see what you can feel of a presence around you as warm light that surrounds you, especially above your shoulders and the crown of your head, when it comes to your spirit guides. And when it comes to your galactic team, your galactic family, well, they exist in different forms and different systems and dimensions. And so you can start to visualize, allowing into your imagination whatever pops in as an ET being that's part of that galactic family, and then start to imagine what it would be like to connect with that being and what types of things you would share with one another, and you will begin creating that reality for yourself.
Okay. And in that same kind of subject matter, is it a similar thing if we want to utilize the future version of ourselves that you talk about, is that we exist in these lighter bodies, these different realities, perhaps utilizing that existing version of us to help us in this present moment? Would it be a similar sort of idea?
Yes. It is true that the future you exists now, and that the future you does have more experience and has been on a higher evolutionary plane than where you are right now, and draws from all that wisdom and all that experience and sharing with you what is pertinent to your now moment that can help you to alter what you need to about yourself or your perception of reality.
Okay. Fantastic. As we finish up here and have Daniel come back, is there anything that you would like everybody to consider as we part here?
Everyone can connect to us. You can connect to us as this collective consciousness, or you could reach out to any of us as individuated consciousnesses as well. We are happy to assist. It's what we live for. We live to give, and we want very much to assist all of you who are interested in connecting with us in all the ways that we can. We want to see you grow and evolve and expand, and we know that you will, regardless of whether you connect with any of us, but we like to co-create. We like to be a part of your experience, and we like that feeling of seeing you growing and knowing that we were a part of that we made a connection to one of you and helped you in the ways that we can. Reach out, because you know what we are by the different stories that you've heard about us, and the visuals that you have, the paintings, the drawings, the digital creations that you can see now of us and you can focus on to bring you into greater harmony with us. Mm-hmm. We're always available 24/7.
Beautiful. There's one more question in that regard. Is there one specific dimension where you are all together?
12th.
Wow.
Okay. Yes.
Wonderful.
The dimension is not so far from where you are in the sense that you operate in the fourth dimension now, and it seems the 12th must be very far away. But these dimensions exist on top of each other. They exist simultaneously in the same way the past and the future exist simultaneously with the present. And therefore, the 12th dimension really is inside of you. It's all around you. It's not so far away that you feel like your cell phone is not going to be able to reach that far, far corner of the universe from where you are. So you need to stop thinking in those very third dimensional ways with what is possible using technology to reach, and instead think in terms of what all exists inside of me. So as I go within, I have just as much ease contacting any of the members of this collective or the collective itself as I would have picking up my cell phone and dialing the local hardware store that's a few miles down the road.
I love that. Yeah, or the feeling of having to effort more to reach it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Easier than you think.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. What a blessing to be with you.
Yes. What a blessing for us as well. That is all for now. We are Thymus. We are the collective of ascended masters, and we are always amongst you. Hi.
Hello, that was amazing.
Thank you.
I loved it.
Good, good.
Oh, that silvery, just bathing in silver somehow. Oh, wonderful. Daniel, this has just been amazing. Please tell people how they can connect with you and if you have any events coming up or anything that you want to share.
I have a website, danielscranton.com. That's the easiest way. There's a free guided meditation from Archangel Michael that you get if you sign up for my newsletter on there, and then you get those messages that Kara reads. Is it Kara or Kara? I don't think I've ever asked you.
I say Kara, but I go by both. So
that Kara reads. Those are sent out every day in your inbox if you sign up for that list. And you get that free meditation. And then I have classes and courses going on all the time. Upcoming in April, I have the Learn to Channel Mega course coming up. The 11th or 12th time I'll be teaching that. I think the 11th. And that starts in April. I forget what date, but it's at danielscranton.com/mega to sign up for that one. And it's a super long course, 2 hours each class. So a total of 18 hours of class because there's 9 classes. And so I love doing that one. And like I said, there's all the offerings in my store. There's my YouTube channel, which is just my name, Daniel Scranton. If you look for me on YouTube, you'll see there's lots of different people reposting my videos, but you'll want to look for the one with a channel that has my name and my face, and then you'll know it's me. And there's also 40,000 subscribers, so you'll be able to tell by that. I'm going to the right YouTube channel. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and all that stuff too, yeah.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. Thank you again so much. What a blessing to be with you, Daniel.
My pleasure, Kara. Good to be here.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to ask you for one quick favor, and that's to share this episode with one person who you think will benefit from it. Let them know you're thinking about them by sharing this episode with them right now. Thank you, and I look forward to the next meditation conversation.